Chapter 44, A Daring Adventure. When my friend and training partner Frank jumped out of that window, it kickstarted a strong fear of missing out on life for me. Before that point, it had never even crossed my mind that I was going to die one day, that perhaps I too would not be able to experience all the things I'd hoped to experience. I spent all of my days in the gym, and I was in no rush. Our single most valuable resource in life is time. We're allocated a finite amount of it at birth, and that's all we get. The tricky part is that nobody's told exactly how much that is. And even worse, there is no way to get more of it once it's used up. Going on that trip around the world was a desperate attempt at getting as much out of life as possible, every single minute of it. I had set myself a high pace back then, and I can honestly say that I haven't slowed down much in the 10 years that have passed. I was running away from ordinary life, and I've been running ever since. Who knows if I die in a car crash next week or get cancer in 5 years? This fear of missing out is also pushing me to create experiences for myself. I could sit around and wait for fun things to happen or for new friends to randomly enter my life. I would probably have to wait a long time for that. Then I could try to make some money and use that to buy experiences, to consume my way to memories. But that's simply too slow for me. I don't have time to wait for someone else to take charge of what will happen in my life. The only alternative is that I create my own reality. So I make things happen all the time. When you think back to a certain time period, for instance a year or a summer, what comes to mind? Do you remember it for certain days you went to work? How you spent your time buying groceries? Or do you define that period by the experiences that made you happy? A night out, a dinner with friends, a concert, meaningful conversations, a trip to the beach, or a vacation? Isn't it obvious that this is what life should be about? To be as excited as possible. At the end of our days, on the deathbed, the only currencies that truly matters to have accumulated are friends and experiences. Money will be worthless at that point. I can honestly say that pretty much every single good memory I have and every single friend I have made in the last 20 years since I finished school has come out of something I have created myself. From the gym, academies, a trip around the world, parties, competitions, travels, and camps. These things would not have happened if I hadn't somehow managed to convert them from an electric impulse in my brain to the physical reality. All those experiences and friendships would never even have existed in the universe. Someone who is a good friend now because of it, who I share passionate memories with, would be a complete stranger I passed on the street in another timeline. The same goes for all the friendships and memories other people have gotten from the things I've created. I'm afraid that I'm missing out on things. But even more, I'm starting to become afraid of missing out on things that don't exist but could have existed. Ideas I haven't had yet. Projects I never followed up on. My trip around the world and so many other projects were created out of thin air from merely a thought in my brain while sitting on the couch at home. They all strongly shaped my life, and I couldn't imagine how things would be without them. What other ideas did I skip at some point that could have had the same impact? Was there another project on the same level as my trip around the world that I ignored or which just never materialized? It blows my mind to think about it and pushes me to chase creations even more. It's easy to lean back, get caught up in everyday life, and forget that we're not going to be around forever. An office job can take years and years away that you will never get back. One thing that helps me a lot to see the big picture is to watch documentaries on the history and time of the universe. It's a good way for me to comprehend how unimaginably tiny and unimportant I am in the scope of the universe. My decisions and worries might seem important in the daily reality of myself and my life, but in terms of space-time, I am the tiniest of specks that has zero influence or meaning on a grand scale. Nobody will remember me in a few generations. Not a single thing I've done, thought, or meant. In the history of the universe, my existence could simply not be less influential. It is when I think about these things that I realize to myself that there is one thing and one thing only that makes sense in life for me. Do whatever makes me happy and do as much of it as I possibly can. Sometimes I definitely push this too hard though, doing things. There was one summer where I did 3 week-long camps back to back with a total of 600 participants. When I returned back home, my head was buzzing from stress and I had to lay on the couch for days without moving. Since I was a teenager, more precisely, exactly when my parents went through their divorce, I had always had some sort of light tics. Usually I would have one for a few years before it was replaced by another. A sound, a habit, or a movement that I couldn't get rid of. I've tried my best to hide it over the years. It always got worse when I was tired or stressed, and the many camps burned me out more than anything. I tried everything to get rid of it and eventually ended up laying on a mattress at a hypnotist somewhere in Copenhagen. I didn't really believe in it and to some extent still doesn't. But in my mind, there is now a crystal clear memory of me going back to my childhood and having a conversation with myself on a football field in the Canary Islands on a summer holiday with my grandmother. I found myself sitting there as an adult on a little wooden fence with a leather ball under my foot next to a 13-year-old version of myself. He was lonely, scared, and in despair. His mother was in a very bad shape, his little brother caught in a difficult squeeze between parents, and he had to be the man of the house, carrying more weight on his shoulders than any child of that age should. He looked skinny and his eyes were pale. What he truly needed was a role model. A grown-up man who could give him a hug and assure him that things were going to be all right. That life would ultimately turn out just fine, even though things seemed to be going in a very bad direction at the time. In an admittedly very, very strange way, I became that man that day on the football field in the Canary Islands or on the mattress in Copenhagen, depending on how you look at it. We had a long talk and the hypnotist had to check in with me a few times as he thought I had fallen asleep. I explained everything to my 13-year-old self about how life would turn out, that his mother and brother would be just fine, that he would succeed in creating something meaningful for himself and for others. I was crying and crying. It felt so real. The tics disappeared that day. What's next for me? As far as jiu-jitsu goes, I keep playing. It's been self-defense, MMA, sport jiu-jitsu, and a job for me throughout the last 20 years. But now, at the age of almost 40, I practice it more for fitness and social reasons. I still enjoy stepping on the mats at our small academy in St. Bart and at the camps around the world every single time. We have a strong little team here on the island, and I get to roll with many hundreds of people at the camps every year. The young athletes I have taught and trained alongside since they were kids or teenagers have surpassed me a long time ago, and I'm truly proud to be their friend and not their professor. BJJ Globetrotters has grown into an amazing community that really allows me to make some interesting things happen. I cannot understate how important it has been for me to go out in the world and see it firsthand, to make friends everywhere from all sorts of cultures and backgrounds, to see with my own eyes that there exists an infinite number of lives to be lived. On a bulletin board in a cheap hostel in Portugal, someone had posted a handwritten note on a piece of paper that was torn from an old book. It was less than a year after returning from my big trip, and I got goosebumps all over when I read it. The shortest way to yourself is around the world. Going around the world was where I met myself. It was the most defining and important experience of my life, and I was eager to share it with everyone. BJJ Globetrotters became a vehicle for that. In essence, it's a very organized version of attempting to recreate for others the feeling I got from that trip. It's the least I can do to try and give something back. At the point of writing, BJJ Globetrotters counts 831 affiliated academies and is by far the largest jiu-jitsu affiliation in the world by that metric. We have hosted 62 camps around the world with close to 10,000 unique participants. I always expect that there's a camp just around the corner that will be a little bit boring, but it just never happens. There hasn't been a single of these trips that has been anything less than 10 out of 10 for me, and it still amazes me to think about. Just like I pick who to involve by how excited they are, I also pick the camps by how excited they make me feel. I must have butterflies in my stomach when I think about a camp location, otherwise I know it's time to quit it, no matter how good a business it is. I've stopped doing many successful camps because of this, even the classic ones in Belgium and El Salvador while they were at their peak. Many people were disappointed, but I don't believe the camps will work if I'm not extraordinarily excited about going to them. So usually after a few years, it's time to move on and find somewhere else to explore instead. Going back to the same place year after year would be kind of contradictory to the foundation of what we do and who we are. It's called Globetrotters, after all. Regarding myself, it's very clear to me what the defining moments of my life have been. When I quit my job, when I left to travel around the world, when I sold my business, when I moved to a different country. Each of these were decisions to leave something that felt safe and familiar. To jump into the unknown, feet first. To quit. It's human nature to do the opposite. To stay in your comfort zone. Don't leave your tribe and don't go to see what is on the other side of the hill. But adventure is on the other side of that hill. And that is where I have to go. Sometimes the hill is a new career. Sometimes it's a trip around the world. And sometimes an entirely new life. The scarier it feels, the bigger the reward. Many people will choose unhappiness over uncertainty any day. To stay in a life they actually don't really enjoy, only because it feels safe. It's normal. That's how we're programmed. I would like to believe that I've learned to live with uncertainty. I don't know what I will do in 6 months. I have no set plans for my business. I don't know where I will live in 5 years or where my kids will continue to grow up. I've put myself in that situation on purpose, to maximize the opportunities of changing things up. But the truth is that I'm still deadly scared of quitting. I guess this will be a lifelong struggle. I hope that my trip and this book can inspire even just a few people to do something similar. I truly believe that if we all traveled more and got to know each other better across countries and cultures, it would make the world a better place. Find friends in the most unlikely places. Go see what is on the other side of your hill. Ambitiously chase healthy relationships and memories. Create things that make a difference and have a positive impact on other people. As a clever person once wrote, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. So what do you choose? The end.